Hi, this is Jim Armstrong, and today we're doing Module 3 of Rapid Launch 2008, Building and Maintaining a Herd. And I'm really happy to have on the phone with me today a good friend of mine and member of my coaching team, Tracy Tollison. Tracy has been is a direct response marketing expert and has been involved in direct response marketing since 1982. He's worked with Dan Kennedy, Lee Miltier, Bill Glazer, and many others, and he's the founder of the Nationwide Pinnacle Club, which is a coaching and mentoring program to help realtors build their business. He runs a very successful mortgage company and consulting company, and in the 1980s, Tracy hosted a half-hour television program on ABC that aired in Hawaii on the topic of implementing success principles for your personal and business life, and Tracy is one of my personal coaches. Tracy, welcome to the call, and thank you for being here today.
Hey, Jim, thank you. I'm excited to do this.
Okay. Well, you know, Tracy, there was a time in the distant past where a business owner could get away with running a Yellow Page ad or a newspaper ad and really not do any other kind of marketing, including to their past clients. Give us your thoughts on why that's not the case anymore.
Well, as we have moved from paper print to the Internet, a lot of people just simply don't use the phone book or the Yellow Pages anymore. An interesting study that was released last month, over 9,000 jobs in the newspaper industry have been cut just in the last 6 months, most of them reporters, but a lot of it salespeople, because the traditional way of putting an ad in the Yellow Pages or putting an ad in the newspaper is just not as successful as it was. I don't know about the listeners on the call, but for me personally, if I need to look up a phone number of something, I just go onto the Internet and type in the company name and the business. And I think a lot of folks these days are looking more for recommendations from others they know, and I think the reason that Yellow Page ads are not as successful as they used to be, newspaper ads are not successful as they used to be, is because they are traditional in format. You know, we're the best, we give great service, we do this, and you put them together as you teach your members and I teach my members. You put them together and you take out the picture, if there is a picture, you take out the name and the company, and they're basically the same. So my first thought on that is simply that I just don't believe that many people are looking for their things they need to buy anymore in those two medias. I do not, for my own mortgage company, run Yellow Page ads at all.
Sure. Well, the Yellow Pages are really struggling right now because of, in any given area, oftentimes there's four or more books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole industry is changing. You'll start seeing in the future, soon there won't even be a book printed. For 28 years, my mother worked for Reuben H. Donnelly, which was the number one printer of Yellow Page books in America, and that industry has changed so much. She was in management over the sales force when they would turn in their ads from businesses and advertisers and then get it implemented into the book to be printed. And over the last 6, 7, 8 years, she would tell me how the book would get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So, but that does not stop the fact that through radio, TV, mail, and all sorts of other stuff, every consumer, all of us, me included, you included, everybody on this call, somewhere around 10,000 advertising messages per day, are getting stuck in your head. And they're not things that you would normally consider an advertising message, but they are an advertising message. So that's my thought on that.
Okay. Well, the 10,000 messages a day can be somewhat unbelievable until you begin to look around and you see the Pepsi can on your desk with the logo. You pull up your email and you see the 10 different banners that are on there from the website from different companies. Drive down the street and see all the billboards and everything on the radio and on and on and on. So that 10,000 is not just a number we're pulling out of the air. That's a real statistic. So
yeah, that's a scientific study.
Yes. So. Give us a thumbnail sketch on why it's so important to build and maintain your herd of past clients.
Because they're the most predisposed to do business with you again.
Okay.
That's pretty thumbnail.
Okay.
No, to expand on that, that is the number one reason. If you think about it for a minute, most businesses, whether they're retail or Salesforce, let's take the two industries. The folks that are on the call with us today are in a retail-type business. Most, well, all, I would assume, have storefronts. So they're the traditional merchant, retail merchant store. The group I work with, the industry I work with, coaching mortgage originators and mortgage company owners, they are not necessarily a retail store, but they are a professional service provider with a store. And then you have the real estate agent or realtor themselves, who they're a professional salesperson and professional advisor, but they're not looked at in the traditional sense of a retailer like the folks on this call. So what happens is all those marketing, however you're going to design and build your business with your marketing dollars, one of the first things you got to look at in those, doesn't matter, you can name any industry, any business, you are spending upfront money, number one, to bring that person to your store or face-to-face or a phone appointment with you. Then once you go through the initial process and they become a buyer, most people, most industries completely forget about them, and then it becomes a, because the premise is based on transactional versus repetitive. The mortgage industry, for example, is pretty close mirrored to how, the homeowner, or the real estate industry is mirrored pretty close to the group you're coaching, floor covering dealers.
Very much, and they'd be surprised at the parallel.
Oh, just absolutely dang near identical.
Except for the product being sold. I've said this before, Tracy, that the mortgage / real estate industry and the floor covering industry are the same business except for the product being sold.
Absolutely, because it is transactional, and then our opportunity to do another transaction is somewhere between 3 to 5 to 7 years.
That's right.
So it is not repetitive, such as an insurance business where you have to pay your premium every year or they cut it off, where you have to pay your power bill every month or they cut it off. Those would be considered repetitive business.
Yes.
Okay?
Well, let me real quickly give some of the parallels to dovetail with what you're saying, Tracy.
Certainly.
What you just said is, long time between transactions. The other would be they are high ticket items.
Correct.
The next is that both industries are highly commoditized. And fourth is during that long time between transactions, your past clients are vulnerable to being preyed upon by other businesses and stolen and poached from you.
And that is where most business people and sales professionals miss it. Because most of us just think if we did a good job, an adequate job, that the customer is going to remember us when the time and space in their life comes again to, I need another mortgage. I need another house. I need more floor covering.
Yeah.
And therein lies the real secret to why building a herd, and you know my pat coaching on this with the real estate industry and the mortgage industry is, build a herd that pays you $100,000 a year or more, and you can do that so that you know come 2009 you're going to net $100,000 in your pocket as long as you do this with your past clients. And then you don't even have to worry about that part of it once you set that system into place. And so most of us end up waking up every morning wondering where our next deal, next transaction is going to come from. Those that don't use systems. And so in a business, all the things you're teaching your Inner Circle members, all the things I teach my Pinnacle Club members and my other coaching clients is front-end marketing that brings them into the door, that attracts and compels people to do business with you, and then a system of implementation where you build a fence, a strong fence, and you water, nurture, feed your herd of past clients. And those two systems, if a business owner or sales professional will build those two systems, I dare say, and I challenge anybody to try it and prove me wrong, about 70% of all your stress on where your next deal is going to come from disappears automatically.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Automatically.
And the thing, you mentioned something, you know, building a herd that gives you $100,000 net in your pocket. You put that system together, well, then you can duplicate it. And you can get, you know, you can double the size of it or do whatever because you've got a thing that works now.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Well, you know, Tracy, I've surveyed hundreds of dealers across North America, and I wasn't totally surprised, but what I found out of all the surveys, I only had one dealer who wasn't an Inner Circle member who communicated with their clients on a monthly basis. One out of all the dealers I've surveyed. Why do you think most business owners ignore their herd?
One, lack of knowledge. Let me be polite first, then I'll be brutal at the end.
Okay.
One, lack of knowledge and understanding of the value that is there, the real dollar tangible value that is there. Number two, laziness to put together and implement a system. Number three, complete ignorance of business building principles. Or a refusal, a flat-out refusal to commit marketing dollars to that part of their business. I find most of it is just a sheer lack of laziness, quite frankly.
Okay.
Because once a person gets involved in it, they understand, dang, this is actually one of the most exciting parts of my business to work on every day and work in, you know. And so, for example, we all know, now I'm going to do some relationship, again, back with our two given industries, and I hope we get to open this up for question and answers a little bit at the end.
Oh, we are.
Okay,
we are.
Good. Okay, so here's an example. All people pretty much understand that during the 19, from the year, basically after the September 11th tax, when the interest rates fell and tumbled, and free money was available for everybody, you were mortgage originators. I remember mortgage people, somebody would say, what do you do for a living? I'm in the mortgage business. Wow, man, I bet you're just making so much money. Man, I should be in the mortgage business. And now, fast forward to 2008, you say, what do you do? I have a mortgage company. Oh, God, I bet you're starving to death. And the bottom line is, when I started coaching mortgage companies in 2003 to build their business and do this kind of stuff, I went through the same thing you went through. I found out of the first 25, 30 coaching clients that enrolled in my coaching program, not a single one of them, not a single one of them, Jim, had a database in which they worked their past clients and heard and kept in touch with them. Not a single one of them. And some companies that are in my coaching group were doing millions of dollars in revenues and doing 500, 300, 200 loan transactions per year. 4 and 5 years of that going on. 600 to 800 to 1,500 clients they did loans for, and not a single one of them in a database. That's sinful.
Yes.
And so I would challenge the listeners on this phone, how long you've been in business, how many customers have walked through your door in the last 5 years, and how many of them you got a database in that if I said, okay, find me Mary Smith, when's her birthday, when did she buy her stuff, what's her email address, what's her phone number, I would challenge that I might find one on this phone, and that would, well, actually, I better find more because they're already in your coaching group.
That's right.
So
I think you'll find more than one now.
If we
but
don't, they need to get a little side coach kick.
There we go.
But anyway.
Well, I tell you, Tracy, we've got a lot of new members on the phone who have just joined recently, and so hearing this is good because those questions you just went through, you should be able to answer those.
Absolutely.
So that's a good test. I like that. You know, a minute ago I said that, you know, one dealer out of the hundreds I've surveyed, sent out a monthly newsletter, or otherwise communicated with their past clients. Now, that's actually good news for Inner Circle members. So, Tracy, talk about the opportunities that opens up for my clients.
Well, most of us parents told us that the crowd was wrong, and so you do the opposite of the crowd. Earl Nightingale said, if you don't really know what you need to do, look around and find out what everybody else is doing and do the opposite. Some kind of paraphrase to that.
Yes.
So, here you go. If you live in a community where there's 10 floor covering competitors and you're the 11th, you can rest assured that those other 10 aren't going to do and are not doing what Jim Armstrong's teaching you to do right now. So that puts you at a competitive advantage far and above beyond your competitors, because of the other reasons that we discussed earlier, they just won't do it.
Yeah.
So it gives you a competitive advantage going right into it. Keep in mind, we like to say this, we know it's the truth, but it hurts. Keep in mind that in your community, every morning there's another floor cover dealer waking up and thinking of how he can steal your customer, how he can get to your customer, how he can make him his customer before he comes your customer. Now, they may not have the systems in place. They don't have the systems in place that Jim Armstrong Marketing teaches you. So that in itself is a gigantic communication, that in itself is a gigantic competitive advantage. They don't even think about it. They're just saying, man, I got to get this. In our industry, this is how pathetic it's gotten, Jim. In our industry, and this is good information for all the listeners, if you apply for a mortgage today and you don't do what I instruct you to do, tomorrow night you will probably get 10 to 15 to 20 phone calls from other mortgage companies who know you're looking for a mortgage now, trying to solicit you to go do business with them.
Because the minute you pull that credit report, everybody knows that's happened.
Yeah, well, this is how disgusting it is in our industry. The three credit bureaus in America control all the data on us. There's only three of them. They sell that data to anybody and everybody that wants to step up to the plate and pay them for it. So mortgage originators who don't have systems in place to attract people, they buy these leads and then start calling the people and pursuing them to switch. It's a sinful tactic. The credit bureaus should not allow this, and it's a little side thing of mine. You know, the Federal Trade Commission, I think the Federal Trade Commission might regulate the floor covering business, but Federal Trade Commission allows this practice to go on.
Well,
and so that's my example of why I better be ahead of the crowd, because that's one thing I got to compete with.
So let's lay it out for the listeners so they understand. Tracy's client walks into to Tracy's office to get a mortgage loan. Tracy pulls their credit report, which you have to do at the beginning of the loan process. Tracy has no choice. He can't skip that. That sends out a signal to all the poachers who are also in the mortgage industry. They get that information from the credit bureaus and immediately begin calling Tracy's client to try and steal them away from Tracy. Have I got that accurate?
That's exactly how it happened.
So Tracy, and we're going to get to this, in spite of that, still runs a very successful mortgage business, does great while others are collapsing all around him. He's still doing well. So if anyone on the call is feeling like, wow, I've got some real competitors breathing down my neck, I challenge you to put yourself in Tracy's shoes and have that. Imagine if every time a client walked into your store and looked at a sample, all of a sudden an email message went out to all your competitors with this person's name, address, and phone number, that prospect of yours, and said, this person is looking at carpet samples or flooring samples, and they all started calling them. Imagine having to overcome that. Well, because of Tracy's, what we're going to get into in a minute, what he's done, he has overcome that. So, and that's incredibly powerful. And, you know, Tracy, you're in the mortgage business, and like I said, you're doing well in spite of the doom and gloom. You're doing well in spite of that handicap that we've just talked about. How did building and maintaining a herd make ongoing success possible, even with what many people would think having these odds stacked against you?
Well, first, I don't believe you can achieve your highest possible success in business if you ignore your herd. That's past and present clients. I don't think it's possible to achieve your highest success obtainable in business, I'll repeat it, while ignoring your herd. Now, to directly ask and answer that question that you just asked, because I work and apply the same strategies, systems, and methods in my business that you are teaching your floor covering dealers. Because it is the same, no matter what. None of our businesses are different. There isn't a business on the planet that's different from another one, except for the product or service they're delivering. How it gets done is all the same. The sooner you figure that out, understand it, and own it, the happier you'll be in life. Because not only does that give you confidence, I'm sure there are some people on this phone call that said, dang, I don't know if I'm going to make it in the floor covering business. What would I do next? Well, if you're asking yourself that, you don't own that marketing is where it's all at. You don't own that yet. See, I know I'm a high school dropout, 11th grade high school dropout, who earns more money than most surgeons and doctors consistently over 25-year history and period, and I've done it in like, right now I think this mortgage business is like the fifth or sixth business I've been in, and I'm 48 years old.
That's fantastic, Tracy.
So it goes to owning that. But as far as a lot of the doom, your question was how did building and maintaining a herd make that ongoing success possible? Because right now the 1,000 people that are fresh and clean in my database right now that get from me my marketing message, and we'll discuss that a little further, they have a relationship with me. Not the relationship like you might have with your spouse or significant other, not the relationship you have with your kids, but they have a business-type relationship in which they see me as a trusted advisor when it comes to their mortgage, their financing. And I get calls all the time, Jim, just asking me about, hey, I got this, what do you think I should do? It has nothing to do with a mortgage.
It's just a financial type of question.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Meeting with a client next week that wants to start their own business.
And you, because you've cultivated that trusted advisor positioning, and I know that that's not just an image, that is something you truly are to them, Tracy.
Absolutely, it's not an image, it's a reality.
Absolutely, and because of that, they come to you wanting financial advice in areas outside the arena
right. Of
mortgages. That's great. And it just alludes to the power of, you know, building and maintaining that relationship with your herd. You know, there's a lot of doom and gloom in a lot of businesses, including floor dealers who aren't Inner Circle members, and in today's economy, there is arguably no tougher business to be in right now than the mortgage industry, yet you're still successful. So what would you say to a flooring dealer, Tracy, who thinks that investing and building and maintaining their herd of clients won't help them succeed, or who procrastinates in getting started with the Home Advisor newsletter?
They're just wrong, is the first simple, blunt answer. They're just wrong. Their thought process is not correct yet. And so, again, let's think about it this way. And as you get into the Home Advisor newsletter system that Jim has created for you, one of the things that if you put it on autopilot, and one of Napoleon Hill's, I'm a great student of Dr. Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, one of the 17 principles, universal success laws, if you will, that works and has worked consistently for thousands of years is applied faith. Another way to look at it is cause and effect. Okay, applied faith is when you take something that you see others getting results with, you know has been tested and true in hundreds, if not thousands, of other businesses and given results, and you take it and you work it and you apply it as you're taught, you're going to get results in spite of yourself. Applied faith is one of those principles in the 17 laws of success. So we use it as coaches and advisors as cause and effect. We all know this with our children. We all know when we learn things, they're, you know, first time you touch a hot stove, you don't touch it again. That's instant shock. You learn that from. And then you just simply know the cause and effect. You touch the hot stove, you're going to get a blister. It's that simple. You build your database, you fix it all up, and then you start applying the Home Advisor herd management marketing system that Jim talks about. By the way, Jim, I started a corporation called Herd Management, so
fantastic.
That's how much I believe in it. And that's what I do, is teach realtors and mortgage people herd management. That's what Jim's teaching you right now through the Home Advisor. So you take those systems and you start implementing it. That's how critically important I believe in this. And again, it goes back to the first thing. Have somebody in your store, your wife, your spouse, your significant other, and you call around and ask all your competitors if they have a database that they send out stuff to their past clients.
Yeah, you're going to get no's all.
You'll get no's.
Yep, yep.
You'll be, and you can play a game. Hi, I'm so-and-so with so-and-so research firm. You are a research firm the minute you self-appoint yourself. You're doing research. How many people in your community are actually doing this? It'll get you excited.
Yeah, yeah. And, again, I've done it nationwide and just appalled at what I've found.
Oh, yeah.
But it's such an incredible opportunity for everyone on this call and everyone in the club. So, you know, one thing that I do want to mention, Tracy, digress for a moment, is Dan Kennedy says that for every month you go by without communicating with your herd, you lose 10% of that value. So after 10 months, you've pretty much lost that value, that relationship. And I've seen reconnecting with the herd. We have a Connect campaign that actually jump starts that, and you're familiar with that, Tracy. And then that leads directly into the Home Advisor newsletter. I've seen reconnecting with past herds begin to pay off with the very first letter, and I've seen it take 9 to 12 months of consistent farming, rebuilding that relationship. I've never seen it fail, but I have seen it take longer than the very first letter you send out, and sometimes people get discouraged. They send out a couple of letters, and they go, hey, this isn't working. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say again that is not understanding the power of the marketing we're talking about fully, number one. I think it goes back to in America, we've been taught that we want instant tea, instant coffee, and instant. We have instant tea, instant coffee, instant everything, and we also have instant disbelief. So first time you send out something and it doesn't work, you say, it didn't work. But that doesn't mean it didn't work.
Yeah, it means that you're farming and you're to take a little bit different analogy, it's like what you'd work with in the real estate business, and that is farming. You know, you plant those seeds, you plant the referral seeds, you plant the repeat business seeds, and sometimes they take a little longer of watering and sunshine before you get a crop.
Another way to look at it's pretty blunt and brutal too. If you're out pursuing or trying to attract a significant other, whether you're male or female, and you call them up and say, hey, let's go out to dinner, and you're dating, and you date once, and then you don't call them back, and you don't see them again, and you don't do anything, guess what your reaction is going to be the next time?
Yes.
Well, it's the same principle.
Exactly.
You know, I've been married, I tell people all the time, this will be my 26th year of marriage. I've been kissing her on the lips for 32. If I don't keep kissing her, she might get distracted by something else. My clients are the same way. If I don't pat them on the back, if I don't encourage them, if I don't blow kisses at them, if I don't tell them I'm thinking about them, why in the heck should I expect them to think about me?
Yeah, exactly.
You made a good point here that I'm glad before we go into this next segment that I wanted to mention. Maybe some of the listeners have heard this on a previous CD we did, but in 2005, 2006, I bought this house and I put $5,000-$10,000 of floor covering into it. I got the referral from somebody who knew this person. Good guy. Everything. Good guy. Nice little shop. I can't remember his name. Now, fortunately for him, you talk about the 10 months and losing the value of your herd every month you don't communicate. I personally believe that statistic of the value decreasing by 10% every month has moved up to 15 or 20% because of all the mass media and all. Look at it this way, guys. What's the biggest event that's been in the news? Hurricane Ike. Before the financial market. Do you hear anything about Hurricane Ike right now? Nope. Fannie Mae gets taken over the world's largest grab of an industry in the world by a government, gets taken over 2 weeks ago, and you don't hear about that no more because last week all you heard about was how all these big banks and everything else was falling down. People's attention span is worse than a 1-year-old child. Adults.
Yeah.
So therefore, you cannot expect somebody that did business with you in April of 2008 to remember you 5 years from now when they need floor covering again. They're just not going to do it.
No.
You're not that important to them.
as much as that bruises all of our egos, it's true. So.
But what gives me a competitive advantage, Jim, and gives you a competitive advantage is we know that's the truth and we don't get mad at them. We get mad at ourselves. So here's another good example. This guy has never sent me a single piece of material. He never sent me out a satisfaction survey. He never sent me out anything asking me if I knew anybody else that was in my sphere of influence that needed floor covering. He didn't send me a birthday card. He hadn't sent me a Christmas card. He hadn't sent me a postcard. He hadn't done nothing. Lucky for him, and this is only because I'm a marketer and I have my antenna up all the time. That's why I'm paying attention to it. Lucky for him, I can still remember the location of his shop. But just because I remember that is no compelling reason for me to go back. And who knows? I'm 48. I may forget where his shop is in another year.
That's funny.
Well,
I hear what you're saying, Tracy.
So, anyways, one of the things, go ahead and we'll move on because, you know, I get excited about this.
Oh, I know. We could go on for 2 hours about this. I know.
It's so critically important.
Oh, I know. And the you know what's nice, Tracy, is a lot. Everyone on this call has heard this and they know it, and so we're just giving some different points of view to reinforce that and keep fighting the good fight in regards to building and maintaining that herd.
I'm not trying to beat up on the group, and I know they're ahead of the field by a long way.
Yeah,
I'm just hoping they understand how far ahead they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And once they implement it, and it becomes just like brushing your teeth, then that leaves you and frees you up to go on to the next opportunity to create wealth.
Exactly.
Because this is a critical part of creating real wealth in a business.
Well, this is the foundation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, I say that before you do any marketing to the cold marketing, you have no business doing it until you've got your herd maintenance system in place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've worked with you to develop the Home Advisor newsletter, and everyone gets it every month to send out to their clients, but it's nothing like your typical business newsletter you'd get from, like, an accountant or an insurance company. And I call those snooze letters because they're so boring. Every issue has 10 or more emotional triggers, and those compel past clients to read the letter, provide repeat and referral business, and so forth. So talk briefly about some of those triggers and why they're so important.
Absolutely. Well, you know that I have a newsletter for my industry called the Trusted Advisor. It's, you know, a trademark newsletter. And as we were developing the Home Advisor and the Trusted Advisor, we knew that we needed to put what we call emotional triggers in every issue that we created. And in ours, yours, the Home Advisor, there are at least 10 emotional triggers in each of the issues. If you leave them out, it really reduces the effectiveness of it. So briefly, we know from statistics, not something we pulled out of our hat, that number one, a trigger, a psychological trigger, is a photo of you. So it is designed with a photo. We know that a personal note at the beginning that makes it from you to them. We know we have instituted mystery winners. We have a did you know section, which is fun, and we have mega trivia contests. We have client of the month that we talk about. We have testimonials. We acknowledge new clients and returning clients and those who have referred to us. We talk about the referral reward program. It's called infotainment. It's entertainment. It's pretty much of the Home Advisor's content, 80% pure fun, entertaining, and informative articles. About 20% on it in yours is flooring related. 20% of it is mine, is mortgage or real estate related. And that's done with a purpose. We'll talk about the purpose maybe a little later, but you can just trust us, it's done on purpose. We do the very simple, basic black printing on white colored paper. No colored paper, no slick paper, no four-color purpose processing, whatever. We do all that on purpose. And the reason we do that is because we know that in relationship, long-term building of a business where you are the go-to person when somebody says floor covering, they automatically think of you. That is what the Home Advisor is designed to do. And it does do that based on years and years and hundreds of thousands of dollars of testing that you don't have to go through that process.
Just plug and play.
Plug and play.
Yep, exactly. You know, last week we had Think Inc. Marketing on the call, and we put together a relationship with Think Inc. that makes getting out the Home Advisor and the campaign totally hassle-free. It is now totally push-button. All you've got to do is email them the completed Home Advisor, you know, after you put in your photo and contact, plugged in the stuff. You email them the Home Advisor and an Excel spreadsheet of your clients, and in a week or so, you'll get a box with all the letters printed, folded, stuffed, addressed, and stamped. All you got to do is drop it off at the post office. And Think Inc., I've got a special arrangement with them for my Inner Circle members. They've lowered their minimum from 5,000 minimum to 1,000. So go to thinkinkmarketing.com for more info, and you want to talk to Eric Garcia. And in the next week or so, I'm going to be sending out pricing menus for all of you for all those campaigns that I just talked about. It is so plug and play and so easy. You can literally spend 30, 45 minutes a month on the Home Advisor just plugging in your stuff, or even delegating that a portion of it, and hit a button and you forget about it.
Stop right there. Can I stop you right there?
Absolutely.
Only one thing you said that I would be cautious of, that I advise my folks. When Jim said that you could delegate the customization, I delegate the customization of my newsletter to my daughter, but I still write my opening letter.
Good point.
And you should always write your own opening letter. If a business owner or a professional salesperson can't sit down and in 30 minutes think of something important, informative, and entertaining and non-boring to write to their past clients in 30 minutes, they're not serious about their business. So be cautious of that, because I have, well, actually, I delegate everything to my newsletter every month except for that little part. I go as far as, okay, I had this many clients close loans this month, I had this many that referred to me this month, and then my daughter, I give that to her, and she puts in the thank you for the clients, welcome new clients, welcome thank you past clients. I don't even have to do that anymore. So, and this dovetails into something, Jim, I'd like to go back. When you ask me why so many people don't do customer newsletters or build and maintain a fence around their past clients and their herd, I said it was from a lack of understanding and knowledge. That is it. It's a lack of understanding and knowledge of the numbers, money spent, money returned. Most people don't understand that power. I see it in the mortgage business. I see it in the real estate industry. They do not understand that, and we are in related industries. We have high tickets. You've discussed this with me before, but what would you say your research reveals that the average floor covering margin is, or net, we'll say gross profit on a transaction is?
Well, we try, across the nation, it's pretty low. You know, I've talked to people who are in the low 20s. My clients want them to keep bare minimum of 40, and that after you pay labor and material, you know, with labor and materials, you add in a 40% margin. And we've got like Nathan Schlesner, who's up in the 50 to 60%, and others who are approaching that as well. So I would say 40 is sort of a standard for those in the club.
Okay, well, as you mentioned, Think Inc. and all this process, because next thing somebody might think of in their mind is, oh, this is going to cost me a lot of money. You got to understand it's already costing you a lot of money. And it's real money that you don't get to turn into cash. And, you know, one of the resistance I find in saying, let's do this, this is a system that works, is the first thing somebody says is, well, I do have 600 people I could mail to, but I can't afford the 75 cents it'd cost to mail it every month. Well, then my answer is, then if you believe in what you're doing, you better go put together some operating capital and get started on it. Or I'm a little more blunt and say, why don't you just get out of the business then? So that is one of the things that creates the resistance of why and to do this, because they don't understand, folks don't understand that, and I can give you examples of my own personal mortgage company. I have to do, this is what's neat, I simplify things as much as I can. I have to do one unit, and that one unit a month covers my entire year's marketing to my herd. One unit.
Yep. So, and that's the kind of thinking, anytime you do marketing, it should be the ROI, your return on investment. How many clients do I need this month above and beyond what I'd normally get to totally pay for my marketing for the month? And for if you've got a herd of 1,000 clients and it's costing you 80 or 90 cents, that's say $800 to $900 to communicate with them, you've got a, let's say your average ticket is $3,000 at a 40% margin, that's $1,200 in gross profit. You need one deal, and you're in the black.
Yep.
So, absolutely. And, you know, you're going to find that when you begin to market to your herd and gain, we're just talking about the transaction of actual herd members coming in and buying from you. We haven't even scratched the surface on all their referrals. So, you know, you begin to get that action happening, and not only are you going to get more business, the average ticket is going to go up, the quality of client is going to go up, the whole experience changes. So, well, let's switch gears just a little bit here and talk about how often you should contact your past clients. And I'm just going to zip through this real quick here. The bare minimum that you should be doing is 12 issues a year of the Home Advisor. If that's all you do, you're head and shoulders above all your competitors because nobody's sending out anything. But I believe you're still leaving money on the table, and you could be extracting more from your herd and more referrals and more business. And so here's a campaign that I have used. Monthly client newsletter, monthly voice broadcast, and you're going to hear more about the voice broadcast in Module 8. You've got that in your kit, but we're also going to be interviewing Jeff Troyer from Automatic Response Technologies and talking about that more. But it's very powerful if done correctly. Again, using non-invasive, non-cold calling, welcome, entertaining communication. It's not an invasive thing. It's a fun, value-added kind of thing. So quarterly postcards, a Christmas gift, a birthday gift or card, quarterly miscellaneous mailers or offers or letters, a quarterly email. You could send the Home Advisor as an e-letter, and constantcontact.com makes it really easy to do that. But as a caution, do not replace snail mail with email. It's not a replacement for it. It's something you'd add to it. Well, if you add all those up, that's 38 contacts a year. And Tracy, some might say that's too much to spend, client, or that clients will get annoyed. How would you respond to that?
Well, first, to the amount of money that is spent, this is actually something that you've taught and I teach. This is something that gives you trackable results. So if it needs to be tweaked or modified, you know what you need to do versus buying an ad that goes out in a Valpak coupon that says, we got great floor prices, come on over to our store. You can't track really how well that did. If you get a phone call, an inquiry off of it, and your staff isn't trained to say, how did you hear about us? You never know whether that worked or not. These are definitely trackable. So that's the first thing. Clients will get annoyed only if you bore them. People do not like to be bored. So your message has to be entertaining, lighthearted, and peppered with a call to action that you want them to take. Okay? First call to action I believe you want them to take is loyalty. We all know loyalty is pretty much dead in the world, but people want desperately to be loyal to stuff. They've just been trained and taught that it doesn't matter. It's your job to correct that, because instinctively, deep down in their heart and soul, they want somebody they can trust that will give them what they're looking for. And if you repeat that message that you're the one to do it, they will buy it and own it. Clients, actually, Jim, I'm coaching mine so we can make them all burp and gag. We work at trying to hit them 52 times in a year.
Once a week.
With an
something.
Average.
Yep.
You know, and people say, oh, my gosh, they'll get annoyed. No, they won't. They'll begin to see and realize, wow, this guy's really serious. And not every communication with them has to be, come on into my store and buy something. In fact, mine isn't like that. You don't teach that either.
Nope.
It's more of, hey, you use Jimbo's floor covering. Jimbo's floor covering wants to announce the birth of blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely.
And people may say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It has to let it has to do with letting your herd know that you are human and that there is more to life than them just buying floor covering. There is a real passion about a family business, an enterprise that, you know, when I was growing up, I watched Westerns and old movies, and I loved all that stuff, and I always wanted to be a general mercantile store, you know. I always thought that that would be just like the greatest thing in the Old West. I didn't want to own a bar. I didn't want to own a bank. I wanted to own the general mercantile store. Because everybody that came in there always said, hey, and they knew each other. When I was growing up in Alabama in a little town called Happy Hill Community, my grandfather would walk me down to the local Shell gas station, and we'd get a Zero candy bar and a Fresca Coke, and he'd sit in there and talk with the merchant and all the other people that gathered at his store. That's the kind of atmosphere people want to be involved with when they spend their money, believe it or not. So it's very powerful.
Well, go ahead, Tracy, sorry.
Well, and the way you build that is through these contacts. For example, the monthly voice broadcast. And in all your things, you teach people how to opt in so you ain't breaking no rules or regulations. All my clients opt in. They all fill out a form that says, Tolleson Family Mortgage, you're given permission. Tolleson Family Mortgage contact you by email, mail, phone, fax, blah, blah, blah. And they sign it. No problem. So one of my voice broadcast messages to my group this month was, hey, have no fear. The world may seem like it's collapsing and that there's no mortgage money, but there is. Hey, if you just want to talk about what's going on, give me a call. Click.
That's great.
I didn't ask them. I didn't tell them rates. None of that matters. I'm just letting them know that if they need to discuss something or they have any fear, call me.
You know, you said something interesting a second ago. You know, you mentioned the birth of one of your clients is, you know, a client's new baby or something. I mean, think how powerful it would be. You hear about that. Your salespeople are talking to the clients. They know that if they've got a kid graduating from college or going to college or just had a child or something like that, and you put a little blurb in your monthly newsletter about congratulating them on the birth, and you send out a voice broadcast when those things hit the mail, and you say, you know, hey, this is Jim from Jimbo's Floors. Just wanted to let you know, got an exciting announcement. Sally Smith, we just want to congratulate her on the birth of her new baby daughter. Is in, you know, 7 pounds, 11 ounces. And you're going to be getting a little story about that in the newsletter that should be hitting your mailbox here in the next day or two. So just wanted you to make sure you don't miss that. Hope you guys are doing well.
Simple as
that. Think about the impact of that.
It's huge.
Yeah, you're creating that general store feel, community within your flooring store and letting them know there's a community out there that all gathers around your store.
Yep.
So.
And in July, my voice broadcast message was very simple. The day before July 4th, it was on a weekend, I just called up and said, hey there, Tracy Tolleson calling. Just wanted to wish you and your family a safe, hot, happy, and a fun-filled weekend. Remember to thank a vet. Remember to love our country. I forget what it was. And just wanted to let you know I'm excited about 4th of July. Click.
That's great. Yeah. And that nobody, you know, out of the I manage herds of past clients up to 1,200. And I've had maybe two complaints out of the over a decade of doing this. People just asking, you know, to be removed, you know, getting a little snippy about the communication. That's out of 1,200.
And absolutely, and that as a business person is a good thing because now you can eliminate them or fire them, as we say.
Yeah.
You know, you are a businessman, and you can refuse service to anybody you choose. Well, you know, under certain rules, but you do not have to do business with anybody if you don't want to, and you can fire clients. You and I do it all the time. And so, yes, let's see, what else we want to do? Oh, and the value-added content, you may, you know, the weekly email tips. One of you guys could get creative and do a weekly email tip on...
home maintenance.
Maintenance.
Yeah. Yep.
Maintenance, new fiber that's been created. Monsanto creates a fiber now that kills fleas automatically. You know, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You could go into, you know...
Now it's time to plant your bulbs for spring.
Yeah, if you've got a company that's got really good carpet, go to the manufacturer and see if they got any kind of video on how the dang stuff's made.
Yep. Yep, all of that. All of that gives them education, entertainment, and so forth. You know, and one thing I will mention, don't get overwhelmed by the thought of doing all of this right away, especially if you're new to the club. It's not an all-or-nothing proposition. Start with the home advisor, get that going out every month, and then just start adding things as you
exactly.
learn the system. Yeah, you know, okay, now that I've got the newsletter going, now I'll add a voice broadcast.
Yep.
A while later, you add something else. So don't see this huge mountain in front of you. It is something you can build over time, and Tracy and I have both done that.
Well, this is the perfect time. We're in the fourth quarter right now. The nation's going to go to sleep after the election. And what I mean is, you know, at Christmas time and Thanksgiving, you're competing with the big red suit. And your folks, people, are going to go to sleep. So now is the time to prepare for 2009. And make sure you're listening to Jim and you're implementing as much as humanly possible without getting overwhelmed. We talk about doing things simultaneously or sequentially. And the difference is, I'll do this, then I'll do the next one. Or sequentially, all at the same time. So, you know, you clean up your database, you do the Reconnect campaign if that's where you're at. You get that going, and then in 2009, you're ready to launch 90% of this stuff.
Fantastic. Now's a good time to gear up for it. You know, we're right almost at the top of the hour, Tracy. I did want to open up to Q&A. Do you have time to hang on for a few more minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic. I'm going to go ahead and open it up. What I'm going to do, though, is have Brent Belliston come on the line. I wanted to talk to him for just a few minutes. Brent, are you on the line with us?
Hello, Jim.
Hey, Brent. All right, I'm glad you're able to make it. And I asked Brent to come on the call, and actually I want to just ask him a few questions. He's been sending out a monthly newsletter for a while now and just get some of his input. Brent, when did you start sending out the monthly newsletter?
We started about October of last year, so we're just pushing a year now, I believe.
Okay. And how much additional revenue have you generated this year by sending out a newsletter each month?
It took a little bit of time coming, but we're probably pushing somewhere around $200,000 that's come right off from our newsletter.
Fantastic.
Brent, that's directly from the newsletter because you can track it, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, just want to clarify that.
All right, so that's $200,000 in revenue Brent's done off the newsletter. And this summer you generated some impressive revenue with the newsletter and the Connect letter, so tell us a little bit about that.
We kind of got, we forgot the Connect campaign, and so we stopped sending our letters there. Originally went back and did the Connect campaign, and... didn't get a lot of response on the first couple of letters, but the third one that we sent out brought in a cell that was pushing 40, 50 grand, so just out of one cell.
Way to go, Brent.
And that goes into what Tracy and I talked about earlier, is sometimes it doesn't catch on the first letter. You gotta, you know, you've got to farm, maintain, and build that herd, and that's a great example of that, Brent. And let's say someone is hesitating on getting the newsletter out. What would you advise them, Brent?
You know what? This is something that you just got to make it part of your everyday part of business. Because if you're not trying to maintain your existing customers, and this is one of the reasons why I really got involved in this, is that I found out about several customers in the past that were very pleased with what we had done. But, you know, when you're really pleased, you really don't need anybody for 7 to 15 years somewhere in there. And so by the time they had needs again, they couldn't remember who I was, even though they were happy with what I'd done. And so by doing this, it allows me to keep on the forefronts of their minds. And even if it's not an immediate need that they have for themselves, it's a need that, you know, this big job that I got, it was a guy had moved here. The guy's son had moved here to go into practice with him, and he was purchasing a repo home and needed somebody to go in and do all the floors and interiors in that repo home. And so it turned into a $40,000, $50,000 job. And so it's really important, because you don't ever know when your customers are going to need you. But when they need you, they're pretty spontaneous usually. They need you now.
That's right. Hey, Brent, just on a side question, how confident you'd have got that $40,000 or $50,000 job if you weren't mailing? Based on your own testimonial, they forget about you.
You know what? I don't think they would have, because I think that you just end up opening up the phone book, and they're going to call the first, you know, half dozen people that they see in there, and hope that they find somebody that can be a trusted advisor to them.
Excellent. Well, there you have it. You have somebody that's been in it a year, $200,000. One of my side questions, how many is in your database now, Brent?
We're mailing out to probably right around 1,600 a month. So it's
okay, 1,600. So I'm going to count real quick. 1,600 times 10, that's 16,000. A good Yellow Page ad costs more than that. So 16,000, two more months, a little under $20,000 in one. So $20,000 created $200,000 in revenue.
You know what? Your math's really good, because that's exactly the number I come up with also.
See, that's because I know my numbers, not to be a smart aleck, but that's what I mean by why people don't do this.
They'd see the $20,000.
Exactly.
Oh, I can't do $20,000.
But I bet I can't find one of you on here, unless you're in a really small community, that haven't dumped $20,000 into a Yellow Page ad.
Yeah.
Well, and the other side of that, too, is that you wouldn't spend $20,000 to bring in, you know, $80,000 in profit.
That's right. So that's good. He revealed something very revealing. There's $80,000 of profit in there. That's huge return on investment. And more than that, would you consider today, Brent, you're better off with 1 year's of mailing going into 2009 with the opportunity now to even expand that to, say, 300 or 400 in 2009 based off continuing communications with your herd?
Well, this is one of the things that I'm being faced with right now, is that it's time for me to recontract with Yellow Pages, and I think my ad is going to be diminished substantially in my cost there, because it's just,
yeah, you talk to Jim about that, he'll show you how
it's hard to justify paying that kind of money every month for something that I'm doing better on my own.
There you go.
Well, and think about the type of client you're going to get. What are the odds you'd get a $40,000 or $50,000 high end job off of a Yellow Page ad?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you get that job, you're going to have to beat four or five or six other people up to get it. So
there you go. Your margins automatically get cut just because of now you got price shopping versus predisposed to do business with you again.
I mean, yeah. There's always that needle in a haystack, but if you look at your customer across the board, they're looking for somebody that they can trust.
Yeah.
And by coming across through the referral process, that automatically makes you someone that has been trusted by someone that they trust.
Excellent, excellent testimonial, Brent. Thanks.
Real quick, we got time for a couple of questions. Anyone want to chime in with a question or a success story? Okay.
Come on, nobody.
Going once, going twice. Okay, I guess we got it here. Tracy, thank you so much for coming on the call today. And Brent, I want to thank you too. What you had to say, Brent, I know is an inspiration to anybody listening. And Tracy, I really appreciate you being here and taking the time to share your wisdom and experience with the club.
Jim, you're very welcome, and thank you for giving me the opportunity, because I just absolutely love what you're doing for the industry. You are the man when it comes to coaching in this industry, and all of you that are fortunate enough to have him as a client, as my relationship with Jim's expanded over close to five, 6 years, you are very fortunate to have Jim Armstrong as a coach and consultant.
Thanks,
Jim.
All right, you're very welcome. Okay, guys, we'll catch you on tomorrow's call. Don't forget, 9 o'clock Pacific time, next module. Okay, everyone, have a great time, and until next time, happy marketing.